A proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you're with us again and listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is a new guest. Her name is Sarah Hayden Harris. She is with Annie's Foundation. We'll figure out what all that is about. We can tell you that it's been in existence for 1 year and has come into prominence because of some issues that are going on in the state of Iowa. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, I don't do politics on the NewsHour. We talk about business. And so we're going to be talking about book banning and business. Is it good for business? We'll ask that question and more. Sarah, welcome to the Business NewsHour. Grateful that you're with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So tell us about Annie's Foundation. Where does it come from? How was it started? What do you do with it? What's going on?
Yeah, so Annie's Foundation, we started about a year ago. A group of parents met by going to Johnson School Board meetings in response to the book banning efforts there. They tried to ban The Hate U Give and The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. And so we started going to those meetings and, you know, became friends. And one of the moms who kind of brought us all together was named Ann Laurie Smith. And she had three children in the school district. And she unexpectedly passed away last June. She was only 43. So we kind of wanted to do something to honor her memory. And at the same time, I heard about this other group in Florida called Foundation 451 that was a teacher who had taught Slaughterhouse-Five for many, many years. And then all of a sudden, he was told that he couldn't. So he started trying to raise money for a banned bookmobile where he would just hand out copies of banned books. So I kind of took the idea of, you know, what he was doing and wanting to honor Anne and her memory. And that's how Annie's Foundation.
So that's how Annie's Foundation started.
Yes.
And the reason you and I are together was over the past couple of days, there are more school districts releasing lists of books that they're going to pull out of their libraries or out of their classrooms. Mm-hmm. Most recently, I saw 464 books, I think it was, out of the Urbandale public schools.
Right.
And with titles such as To Kill a Mockingbird, A Night by Elie Wiesel, 1984, mm-hmm. which was, by the way, required reading when I was in school.
Right.
So I'm confused as to, and then they pared that down, I think, to 64 books. All
yes.
of a sudden, miraculously, 400 books made the cut. But all of this is in response to a law that was passed by the Iowa legislature and signed
right.
with great flourish by the governor of Iowa. Is all that accurate?
Yes, although I don't think To Kill a Mockingbird was on the original Urbandale list, but it is banned in other places.
Okay.
But yes, all that is accurate.
Why?
Why?
So my question is, as we struggle with a workforce, and this is a business conversation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We struggle with a workforce. We don't have enough workers in the state of Iowa.
Right.
I mean, that's Debbie Durham from the Iowa Workforce Development Authority was with us just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about this. You know, there's just not enough people.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa's population is aging very quickly.
Right.
You know, there are young families moving out of the state. And they're moving out of the state for a whole host of reasons, not
mm-hmm.
just banned books, for crying out loud, but
right.
Issues about electability, voting rights, the opportunity to worship as you please. I mean, these are all things that are hampering, in our opinion,
mm-hmm.
business.
Right.
How does banning books help Iowa attract residents? I mean, unless maybe you're from Florida.
Right. I mean, I do think that there are people with certain beliefs where that does appeal to them. But I think more often than not, it drives away, you know, teachers, librarians. I know a lot of the schools have had a lot of vacancies for, you know, that have been open for a long time because it's so hard to recruit. And who would want to take a teaching job or a public school librarian job right now.
So let me share with you, we always see in the media that the average public school teacher's salary is $55,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's the average, okay? Actually, it's under $33,000 a year to be a teacher in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I will share this with you as well, because we followed this, the migration, outward migration in the top two counties in Iowa of teachers and administrators going to where? Minnesota. Pay is better. Support is much better. So I'm having a hard time trying to figure out why Annie's Foundation, what is your goal, and how you hope to get there?
So our main goal is to get these banned books in the hands of as many people as possible. So we do that through banned book giveaways. We try to have about one a month. And some events we, you know, are smaller and more focused on the community. We maybe give out 50 books.
And who are you giving these books to?
Members of the public, whoever comes. You know, we do try to do events where we target certain populations. So we were at Capital City Pride and handed out almost 800 books. And that we were really well received. People were very excited to see, you know, the variety of books that we had that had LGBTQ characters or were by LGBTQ authors. So we do the banned book giveaways. And then we also just try to do education a lot of the times at our booths. We're surprised that people don't realize that book banning is still happening, you know, even with it in the news so much in the past couple of months with the new education bill, there's still a lot of people who aren't aware of what's going on.
From what I understand, the Department of Education is supposed to put out rules and regs with regard to all this, and they're not, nothing has come yet?
They have said, so initially when the law was being drafted, they said that they would provide guidance, and then they quietly backtracked on that. And then I think they maybe got some, you know, public outcry. So they said, okay, well, we'll provide some guidance. But they didn't give a timeline. And now they're saying that they won't.
They won't give guidance.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
I think that they want the laws to be interpreted as broadly as possible to exclude as many books as possible.
When you're doing these book giveaways, I mean, 800 books at Des Moines Pride, that's a huge amount of books. How are you funded?
Mostly just small donations through our websites, you know, $50 here, $100 there. We've gotten a few small grants, and those are more specific for, like, we fill little free libraries around Johnston. But, yeah, mostly just word of mouth donations on our website and donations at our events.
And how far reaching is Annie's Foundation? I mean, do you, is this something statewide or?
Mostly just Central Iowa right now. Okay. We've had events up in Boone, and we do plan on going to Ames Pride at the end of September. And we've been down to Norwalk. So we're trying to kind of get this, you know, Central Iowa area. We have had some people from other areas reach out if they have, like, concerns about book bans and challenges in their district, and we've offered them some supports. But, you know, we're five volunteer moms who all work.
Five volunteer moms who also work. Wow.
Yes. So, you know, our ability to go other places in the state.
Her name is Sarah Hayden Paris, ladies and gentlemen. She is with Annie's Foundation, a one-year-old group in the state of Iowa that's pushing back on rules and regulations that are vague and, well, some would say discriminatory, that we look at, along with a whole host of issues that could be impacting Iowa's ability to attract and retain workers in the state. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you said you're funded by just small donations, but this must be a broad base of people. I mean, none of this is cheap.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can't buy a Ulysses, for example, you know, for under $20. So.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yep, I find some good deals.
Go to the local book fair, right?
Yes.
What is in the future for Annie's Foundation? What do you hope to, well, I'm going to ask that question in a moment. I want to come back to Urbandale for just a second. Mm-hmm. There were several people that were posting about how many books. There was 464 or something like that. And then they all of a sudden dropped that to like 64 books. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that happened?
I think that, Annie's Foundation was very vocal about raising attention to the issue and all the books that were on that list. And so was a school board member from Urbandale, Dan Gutman.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the immediate efforts to educate the public really worked to our advantage. And, you know, we got national coverage. And I think that...
The Urbandale School Board held an executive session.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after all this mishigas was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they said it was an employee matter with regard to the superintendent, and everybody closed ranks.
Right.
You think that's what they were talking about?
I really don't know. I don't have much of a... I mean, I think it was related, but, yeah.
One of the things, you know, some people have said that any bit of... any bit of notoriety is good for whatever the business is.
Mm-hmm.
But some school boards and some administrators are a bit reluctant to have their school district shown in a negative light.
Right.
So this is happening mostly in central Iowa. I get the impression that rural parts of the state are all in on these book bans because rural members of the legislature were the ones that were flagging this law. Would that be pretty accurate, you think?
I don't know. I tend to think that the school librarians and teachers in the rural communities are a lot of times kind of more embedded and maybe have more of a personal relationship with the community. So I think sometimes that they're when they select materials, there's a little more trust there. I also think that we can't overlook the role that groups like Moms for Liberty plays in this. And they are...
Moms for Liberty. This would be a group of people who are all in favor of wide-ranging liberties for the citizens of Iowa. Would that be accurate?
Well, that's what they say, but they are very big proponents of book banning.
Really?
Yes, and had a heavy influence on the legislature this session.
I see.
So those groups are very active in central Iowa, and there's one in, Linn County. But we don't see them have as much of a role out in the rural communities, so I think that's kind of what
more
we're
of
seeing more
thing.
Here. Yeah.
Have other school districts, and we've been talking mostly about the Greater Des Moines Metro school districts, have other school districts, Cedar Rapids, Dubuque, Council Bluffs, Davenport, have any of those folks reached out to Annie's Foundation?
No. Mm-mm. We're trying on our Facebook page. We have a reporting tool for people to report books that are being pulled from their schools. So if their school issues a list and they want to provide that to us, or if they've seen teachers removing books from their classroom libraries, they can document them there.
Sure.
So we're trying to kind of collect that information and hope to be able to share that with the public.
Sarah Hayden Pierce, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She is with Annie's Foundation, a relatively new group in the state of Iowa. What about public libraries? Now, I know this ruling doesn't affect public libraries, but, you know, I know friends that use the two words called slippery slope often.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
So book bans and challenges in public libraries have actually been increasing, not necessarily to the same extent, but Ankeny Public Library actually had a book challenge last fall.
One parent, I believe it was.
Yes, it was one parent and one book.
One book made that parent uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yes.
And it got defeated. Thankfully, the committee decided to retain the book. But we've seen some rumblings from some of the, pro-censorship groups that indicate that they are coming after public libraries next.
Sure.
So that is a scary thought. Pella, in particular, has a group that is heavily targeting their public library and some of the materials in there that they firmly believe should be removed.
You know, I remember, you know, I'm a kind of a history buff as well. And because I'm also Jewish, I happen to remember a time when books were banned in parts of Europe, mm-hmm. and then they were burned.
Right.
Right? I mean, what's the stretch? I mean, why, you know, Moms for Liberty, they're going to maybe come to Windsor Heights and throw up a bonfire and start burning books? What do you think?
I think, you know, if that book was genderqueer, they would be all over that.
All over that, yeah, yeah. As far as Annie's Foundation, what's the impact on the LGBTQ community in particular?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also impacts with regard to some of the classic novels that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
What does this do for the citizenry of the state of Iowa? Does it make us smarter? Does it make us dumber? Does it make us more attractive? What's the point?
I mean, I think I struggle, you know, as a parent. I have two boys. They're 12 and 14. And, you know, we live in Johnston, which is predominantly white. And I struggle with...
Name me a place in Iowa that isn't predominantly white.
And so I struggle with how do I teach them about the world and other people's experiences when they're just not exposed to that in their daily lives. And one of the ways that we can do that is with books. You know, they can read a story about, you know, immigrant refugee children who are struggling to adapt to life in America, or, you know, who have lost their parents and come here to start anew. And it gives them a sense of empathy and understanding for those other lived experiences that they'll never get to have. So when we remove those books or we make it harder for kids to access them, then I think that we're taking away their ability to relate to other people and have empathy and be curious about other people's lived experiences. And that makes me really sad. And I think that's a failure as a parent.
If I'm reading the law correctly, it really does indicate, I believe this is the fact, and you can fix me if I'm incorrect, but this is really instigated for students that are 7th grade and below. Would that be accurate, or is this...
No, so there's two different provisions of the law. So the first one affects K through 6, and that is the one that talks about, you know, we loosely call it the don't say gay. So, you know, no discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity in K through 6. And then, of course, a lot of our schools in Iowa have 6th grade combined with 7th and or 8th.
Right.
So effectively that ban then extends all the way through 8th grade in many school districts like we saw in Urbandale. Then there's also a K through 12 provision that says that no books with explicit sex acts are allowed, and that is where we see some of the classics like 1984 get caught up.
Well, okay, I'm really confused because I've read that book a number of times. I guess I missed that part.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not quite sure how they're defining it because some other books too, like The Hate U Give or The Fault in Our Stars, There's not a whole lot there. So there's some head scratchers.
When is the Bible going to be banned?
Well, they conveniently carved out an exception for religious texts in the bill. So it's safe.
So there you go. All right. My guest has been Sarah Hayden Parrish. Ladies and gentlemen, she's with Annie's Foundation. Yeah, this is just an interesting thing that's happening, and it's not only in Iowa, but there are other states as well,
mm-hmm.
and it seems as though that the Florida-Iowa connection is really very strong right now,
mm-hmm.
and so if you love Florida, you should love Iowa, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're right there, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in and having this discussion, and again, I couch all of this in if the state of Iowa is serious about worker retention and worker hiring and recruitment, I feel, as a business guy, this is going to be tough for us to retain and recruit. So that's the underlying concern that I have. So
yes.
I don't know. All right. Thank you so much for putting up with me this morning.
Yes, thank you for having me.
That, once again, is the voice of Sarah Parrish. She is with Annie's Foundation, and yes, we will have links to their site up on the radio blog. It is a real head-scratcher. At a time when we can't find enough people to work in the state of Iowa, we continue to blow folks off. I don't understand it as a business person, and as a journalist, it's confusing. Well, that's a wrap for today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Sarah Paris, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.